Okay. Good morning. It is 10:03 a.m. We are here today, May 26, 2020, via Zoom meeting for the third status hearing of OPAPA 19-010 and 20-001, Glide Path Marianas Operations, Inc. versus the Guam Power Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jerick Hernandez and Vince Duenas. Will appellant Glide Path please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. This is Joshua Walsh here with Mr. Joe Rosano. We are attorneys at Seville and Tanger, represent the appellant Glide Path. We've got nobody from Glide Path in our office, but if need be, we could probably get somebody on the phone later during this hearing.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GPA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Graham Botha, General Counsel on behalf of GPA. No other representatives except somewhere in the building if we absolutely need them.
Thank you. Will interested party NG Solar please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
R. Marcel Johnson on behalf of NG Solar.
And Anita Areola on behalf of NG Solar.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Thank you very much, everybody, for agreeing to do this by Zoom. I'm sorry we didn't get our hearing off on the 23rd of March. It seems like forever ago. I hope that once we notified you that we were back in operation, that you've all had a chance to speak to your clients about potentially when we can have the hearing. And Jerick has told me that all of you have filed all of your your briefs for the hearing, but we wanted to know if you needed additional time to file an amendment to those briefs, and then we can just and then talk about potential hearing dates.
And just a correction there, we haven't filed our hearing briefs yet. The memo vacating the dates was on March 16th, and the filing deadline for the hearing briefs was on March 20th.
How much time will you need to file your brief?
Not much time at all. I think we can file it pretty much whenever the public auditor wants us to do with it, to do so.
How about the 5th of next week?
Can I be heard on that briefly, Mr. Public Auditor?
Yes, please.
So it's as Mr. Johnson described. we had trial briefs that were going to be filed, I think, right before when we were going to have this hearing. And the order vacating meant that we didn't turn in our hearing briefs. So we have a version of our hearing briefs that we can file. But I was going to raise for discussion a suggestion I think that would be useful for an eventual hearing on this. We had attempted, and I think you remember this, Mr. Copagata, we had attempted to see if we can come up with a set of stipulations or stipulated facts that could be used in this proceeding. We weren't able to develop that stipulated set of facts. We sent over de facto set of admissions. Please admit or deny these things. And we really didn't have a response from either GPA or ANGI as to that. And I thought that would have been useful to help streamline issues, and we could put that into our trial briefs. I was going to ask first, does it seem like we're leaning toward a virtual hearing in this matter? Is that what the public auditor is contemplating, that this is going to be a hearing done virtually like this without actual witnesses in a room? And if so, if it was going to be that way, I was going to suggest that maybe one more attempt at these stipulations would be useful. Not just useful, I think almost absolutely essential in this hearing where we're going to be having witnesses, presumably over multiple time zones, doing weird things with Zoom, even if they can even use Zoom on their computers. I think that needs to be decided too. So in order to aid in the process, I was hoping that we could still have a short period of time here to see if the parties could either, if not come up with a set of stipulations, at least the set of cross-fired admissions, so that we can sort of whittle down all the issues in this case as much as we can. Otherwise, what was going to be a pretty long hearing, again, I know that the situation we're in, we didn't have sort of a limited amount of discovery here, but I think one set of admissions or an attempted stipulation would be useful to help shape these trial briefs. So yes, we can turn our trial briefs in, but if this is a hearing that it seems like the public auditor is having an eye toward having virtually, in order to help keep that, make that as, keep the unwieldiness of that to a minimum, I would like to see if we could at least get the stipulations done, or if not stipulations, a set of cross-fired admissions between the parties, so at least we know what we have to argue about or not argue about.
Anybody else wish to be heard on that? Lars, Anita?
Well, they did send over requested stipulations of fact, but they were really a non-starter, each and every one of them. They were so numerous and so a little bit convoluted, and they were more like a request for admissions rather than stipulations of fact. You know, and every single one of their stipulations of fact that they proposed were really, you know, very much disputed by us. And so they were really a non-starter. They are not real stipulations of fact. You know, I think that at this point, you know, we have our hearing brief all ready to go. It's my understanding, it sounds like they have their hearing brief all ready to go, and we should just proceed forward. I do agree with Mr. Walsh that one of the things we need to do is set the hearing date, and the hearing date, you know, is very important because we have gotten some ranges of dates from our client, and we're anxious to proceed.
And for the hearing, would it be better to have the hearing in person upstairs, or would it help to have it by Zoom? Who wishes to speak on that?
Well, I think pretty much all of our witnesses are going to be from off island, so doesn't really make a difference to us whether it's in person or by Zoom. Pretty much everybody that we'll be putting on is going to be via Zoom anyway. So.
If I could be heard on the Zoom issue, I do understand that, you know, my adjunct world at UOG, we've been using Zoom. I think my wife has been using Zoom. I'm not sure all of our witnesses or all of our expert witnesses are able to even have Zoom on their computers because of the security protocols. So I was hoping that we could cross that bridge today as well to find out what was going to be the telepresence operating system that was going to be used here, especially for those witnesses who are not allowed by company policy to have Zoom on their computers.
But we shouldn't give up an opportunity to have a live hearing. I mean, we're not conceding that. I mean, I think we would prefer to have a live hearing with live witnesses if that is something that the OPA is going to consider.
Okay, well, I would have no problem with a live hearing. I'm glad, Mr. Johnson, that you brought up that issue. I mean, Mr. Walsh, that you brought up the issue about security prohibitions against having Zoom on their computer. I read some of those articles. Would it be better for everybody if we did this with Google? I know there's a Google ability to be able to have these meetings also on Google or Microsoft.
I think Teams would be the preferred method for some of I think for our expert witness and our client, I think that meets the security protocols for their computers. But I am putting, I think, the cow bow before the cart here again. I think we would like an in-person hearing. We would very much like our witnesses to be handled live and in person. I know a lot of that requires a great sense of optimism that travel to the island is going to be reinstated by whenever this hearing happens. But again, assuming that we can't have witnesses live and in person, or there's not a live hearing, I think we'd suggest looking to the Microsoft Teams platform, because that seems to be something that meets these engineers' security protocols. I personally don't have a problem with Zoom. I've got a Supreme Court oral argument tomorrow on Zoom. I know we're doing this on Zoom. I just starting to talk to some of the witnesses. They sort of raised eyebrows with us about doing anything over Zoom, even meeting with us over Zoom, simply because they just, as engineer folks say, they're just not allowed to have not allowed to have Zoom on their computers.
I understand that, and it was right after we had bought the Zoom that I noted the articles that that there are some concerns about China having the created this app and possible security issues. And so, but we all, if we're going to have an in-person hearing, all of you are going to have to take into account that your witnesses are going to have to fly in at least maybe almost 3 weeks before the hearing date.
Right.
Because I don't see the off-island quarantine being lifted for several months, and especially from some of the jurisdictions that these witnesses will be flying in from. So it'd be very easy for the office to switch to Microsoft Teams or Google, whatever it is in Google, but to alleviate the concerns about the security. But so we won't be having this hearing very soon, I don't imagine.
Well, let me just speak to that, Mr. Public Auditor. We would like to have a hearing as soon as possible. I think really the realities are we would like to have a hearing in person also, but that doesn't seem like that's really going to be possible. I can tell you that I am very concerned about being with other people in a social gathering, and it looks like we're going to be in violation of the executive order of being more than 10 in a room. And that executive order could change at any time. But, I think really the reality is that we should plan for a virtual video conference hearing. If at some time things change and we all plan that maybe, we can have our clients out here 3 weeks in advance, that's fine. But for right now, it really looks like we're going to have to deal with the video conference hearing. And I think that's just the way it's got to go. As Mars mentioned, our clients are mostly off island. And I think, just even the concern that they're transfer or their transit status might be affected by quarantines in those jurisdictions, I think that's just a really big chance for us to take. So I would suggest that whatever we do, whether it's Zoom or Teams or, Cisco WebEx, that we start trying to get those into our computer systems and that we plan for a video conference hearing, unless things, lighten up or quarantines lift. But I really agree with you, Mr. Public Auditor. I don't think the quarantine restrictions are going to lift anytime soon. I just don't.
Okay. One of you, Mr. Walsh, has already shared his proposals for stipulations, which Ms. Arioli, you've stated that were non-starters. Would it help if we all saw each other's trial briefs and then scheduled a meeting over team and then have a discussion about the next, when the hearing would, the actual hearing would be, but a status conference after we review the trial briefs? Would that help?
If I may speak up, it seems like really this, they're not asking for stipulations as the fact. They're putting forward a request for admissions, which goes along with the other sources of discovery that the opposing counsel has tried to use in this case, but have been shut down by the public auditor so far. Mr. Walsh also just said that they essentially asked for a request for admissions. I mean, this isn't in line with the policy of at least the procedure at the OPA. I mean, we really would just like to proceed with having a hearing brief and then having a hearing like we usually would, unless the parties can themselves agree on some stipulated facts.
Let me say something. If the OPA doesn't really, the procedures don't allow for these Zoom hearings either, but this is a new world that we're in. And I think if we're going to attempt to have this go-to meetings or this virtual hearing, I think it's going to be important to try to at least have some sort of cross discovery with admissions so that we can limit this hearing. I mean, this hearing is going to be extremely long with people throughout the world at different time zones. And so I think anything we can do to limit some of the factual issues or even some of the engineering issues, some of the things the engineers can agree upon, is going to be helpful, not just to the OPA, but to the parties. This thing is going to become very expensive if we're not able to do this live and in person. With respect to the briefs, I think that might be a good idea. We would like to have until maybe June 12th to have our brief completed. And then maybe cross briefs to each other on the 12th, and then a hearing sometime within that week after we've had a few days to digest the hearing briefs would be good for us.
Let me just suggest this. I mean, I think that we should stick with the schedule of exchanging hearing briefs. I don't think we really need another hearing in order to discuss the briefs. We can certainly agree to facts that are not in dispute. And I don't mean the request for admissions that GlidePath was suggesting, but there are certain procedural facts that everyone can agree to, which is, when the RFP issued, who won, who didn't win, how many bidders there were. Those are very easy stipulations to make, and that would certainly cut down on the hearing time for all of the parties. And those are very easy to come up with. And so, we can certainly agree to those kind of procedural stipulations of fact that don't involve a lot of time, and that can be done very easily. In terms of, having the engineers agree, that's why we have opposing engineers coming to be our witnesses. That makes, I don't think we're going to have an agreement on what the engineers can agree upon. I would suggest that before the hearing briefs, we come up with some stipulated facts that everyone can agree to. And those would be procedural and factual.
Mr. Public Auditor, I completely agree that there will be some easy stipulations on procedure. The appeal was filed on this date. A second appeal was filed on this date. The protest was filed on this date. That is not what I'm concerned about. What I'm concerned about is a hyper-technical 12-volume, multiple thousand-page procurement where I'd like everybody to agree that the phone is black so we know whether or not we're going to be arguing on the witness stand with witnesses over whether the phone's black, or we could just sort of agree to these easy ones, and no one wants to engage in that process. I'm not hiding the ball. I did call them a set of admissions. But that's no different than sort of saying, I admit that the protest was filed on a particular day. I just want to know how much of a fight we're going to have to put on, or what kind of presentation we have to put on to streamline things, because we cannot get an agreement on what we in good faith think are otherwise easily agreeable facts. We understand that from our engineers. The project called for this in the RFP. The project said this. And I think an easy set of sort of admit so we get over it, or deny so we know that that's something we have to develop in a trial record for you, Mr. Public Auditor, would be useful. I recognize fully, and I think as Joe said, we are in new ground here. When I had asked for my original one-off 30B6 deposition of Mr. Botha's client, I had done that because I thought it would help streamline things. And I understood that the answer was, well, that's not in the procedure. Well, yes, neither is the Zoom hearings. But the public auditor has the ability to shape these hearings in a way that does justice under the procurement code, that pushes these issues along. So I am only merely suggesting that it would be a useful exercise, not just to sit down and come up with a list of agreements on when Josh filed the protest or when Graham got his answer in or when the procurement record was filed. It would be useful also to see if we can agree that the widget is one thing or the color of the widget is something, an easy set. And if there are denials, fine. I'm not even suggesting that the denials require some sort of lengthy explanation. But, you know, but if there's a list of 50 things that are factually and technical, and we can avoid having to spend time going over all of them, I don't understand why those simply can't be sent along to the clients and ask the clients, can you agree to that or not agree to it? And if they can't agree to it, then we know there's an issue there. But I actually think that a lot of what we sent over are not, I mean, they're not difficult. I mean, they're just, either you're going to agree to them or not agree to them. But right now, I've got no agreement on anything. That's the only reason I suggested that. And I suggested that with an eye toward the idea that ultimately, I think Ms. Ariola and you, Mr. Papagodder, are correct. There's not going to be a quarantine lift on the island. There may be maybe some testing regime that allows people to come into the island and not have to spend 14 days at the Pacific Star or something like that. But you know, in anticipation of that, I was just saying what could be useful to streamline the process. But that's the reason I raised this issue of admissions. And I'm not trying to hide the ball, and I'm not making a second bite at saying, let's get discovery. Just saying admissions versus agreed stipulations to me seems to be, you know, two sides of the same coin here, especially as we're trying to streamline issues in a hyper-technical procurement appeal.
If I may be heard, so please. The request for admissions, I can inform the public auditor, and Mars can correct me if I'm wrong, but our clients categorically deny every one of their requests for admissions. And one of the main issues here is the fact that our main defense is that GlidePath misinterpreted the requirements for the RFP, and so we can't agree to their request for admissions of fact when we disagree vehemently with the facts that they think are contained in the RFP. You know, our primary defense is the fact that every other bidder understood what the bidding and the requirements were into the RFP, except for GlidePath. And so for them to ask for us to stipulate to certain facts that we don't agree with and that nobody else agreed with and nobody else found to be the case in the RFP, we can't agree to them. And, you know, so that's our response there.
That's actually useful. If I could go back to my clients and inform them that each one of the technical points that we sent over has been denied by ANGI, then we know where we are. That is better than I was yesterday.
Well, so a large issue was also the fact that a lot of these technical points they were asking us to admit to had nothing to do with the appeal that they had raised, which was actually the main issue that we had seen with them. They're trying to raise other points of controversy that don't have anything to do with the appeal that was actually raised by GlidePath. So rather than take this hearing in a whole different direction from where the protest initially started, we'd rather just stick with the points that we have before the OPA.
Right.
Okay, so then maybe it would help me if I saw the trial briefs. Mr. Walsh and till the 12th?
12th would be fine for GPA.
We could do the 5th. I mean, like I said, the memo vacating the hearing dates was on March 16th, which was 4 days before the briefs were to be due. We've had about 2 months since then. So, I mean, our briefs are pretty much as done as they're going to be, I think.
We've had more than enough time to work on them. While I appreciate that, my calendar is not the same as it was on March 16th. And now that the courts are starting to open, I am getting notice every single day about sentencing hearings that are going to be happening. And I'm being told live and in person at district court starting June 9th. And I also have a trial scheduled in July. So while I appreciate what Mr. Johnson is saying, my calendar is not the same as it was March 16th. It's completely different, and I need to have some opportunity to fit all of the work that I need to do in that time frame, and so I really need until the 12th.
But I had understood that everybody was still working. This office was still working between the 16th and the 23rd. We just didn't have hearings. Our office was working remotely, and you guys could have continued to complete your trial brief. So if we want to have this soon, we'll have the trial brief scheduled for the 5th.
Thank you.
Okay.
And the reply briefs, Mr. Public Auditor?
There are none.
There are none in the original.
There aren't any, right? Sorry. Okay.
And give me about 5 days to read them, and then after the 5th, and then let's have a follow-up hearing on the 12th. To talk about when to schedule the hearing and how it's going to be done, whether or not it'll be on, whether it'll be virtual or whether it'll be in person.
And Mr. Public Auditor, we have no issue with a Zoom, Zoom for these sort of status hearings. I raised the issue about the Microsoft Teams or another secure platform, more for when we actually have to get our engineering clients on line with the public auditor.
I understand that after reading the articles about.
But in terms of these hearings, we're fine with doing this over Zoom, and this way we can see everybody's office backgrounds.
Okay. So get me trial briefs, and then we'll talk about how soon after that, but let's move this along.
Great.
I'm sorry that we lost 2 months, but I wish we had the hearing, because I had other things that I wanted to be doing at this time too, and that's all been derailed, as it were. Okay?
I'm sorry, I missed the time for the hearing on the 12th.
10.
Thank you. We'll look for the invite.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're off the record at 10:31 a.m. Thank you, everyone.